The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Do you have a heavy metal related business? Do you promote concerts? Do you sell t-shirts, music, instruments, alternative lifestyle products? Then come advertise with us. Radioactive Metal is the perfect place to promote your business. Go to advertisecast.com/780 to see all of our advertising options.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at www.audibletrial.com/radmetal. Over 150,000 titles to choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Yeah, this is Justin from Hell's Headbangers, and you're listening to Radioactive Metal.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to an We're All Going to Hell episode of Radioactive Metal. This episode 491. The countdown to the big 500 has officially begun. I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
I'm Corrine.
And this is Aaron.
Hey, bros and bra, what's going on?
Well, Snowy, have you had your dose of True Cult coffee?
I have.
So you know who else has had a dose of True Cult coffee?
Who?
Sean Drover of Active Defiance. So, you're probably thinking to yourself. I know, you're probably thinking to yourself right now. So, what does Sean Drover think about True Cult coffee? I am so glad you asked, because here's what Sean's thinking. He's thinking, can a coffee that claims to be brutal, and that's brutal, actually taste good and not just melt your face off, as many of these so-called coffee companies proclaim? Sean is here to tell you that True Cult coffee will indeed melt your face off, but, and that's a big but, tastes very smooth at the same time, to which I believe Corrine and Sean can both agree, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Smooth like sandpaper. Very fine grit. But that was a terrible reference. I'll have to try that one again. So don't ask me how they did it, but it's 100% true, says Sean. Try it for yourself and you'll agree. So luckily, dear listener, we happen to be sponsored by True Cult Coffee. And if you're thinking, man, I want to be as metal as Sean Drover, maybe if I drink True Cult Coffee, I'll be the same caliber drummer as Sean Drover.
Not only can you drink the same coffee.
I knew you'd be into this, Corrine, because not only can you drink the same coffee by going to TRVEKVLTCoffee.com. You're checking out, if you put in the code RADMETAL, RADMETAL 666, you will get 6.66% off one bag of coffee. Try it out.
What? That's a fucking bargain. Oh my God.
So now Rock and I are the two non-coffee drinkers here, but I am really tempted to try this True Cult. I was telling Rock the other day, I think I'm going to buy a bag, and you know, I don't like coffee, so I'm probably still not going to like it, but it's going to be cool. But I know a lot of people at work who love coffee, and they'll be a really good judge of this. So I kind of want to take it in and almost do like the Folgers test, you know, like replace the coffee in the break room and just see what happens, you know?
Yes.
Because my building's got like a lot of hip hop guys. So like I noticed that all of a sudden, like the gold chains start to become tarnished. And instead of, you know, like a VW symbol, like which rapper wore the VW symbol? Was that Flava Flav? No, that was the BC. Anyway. But instead of like the giant clock around their neck, they'll have like metal horns or something, you know.
Or the upside down crosses. Or...
Yeah, see, that's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm hoping.
You know, hey, like you said, I
don't. Damn, Aaron,
I,
you know.
I don't drink coffee, you know, but the only things that I enjoy that has coffee flavor to it is like the Snowy, you know what, you'll know what I'm talking about. The Coffee Crisp candy bars in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
And ice cream that's coffee flavored. So, so can I like grind Truecalf coffee and mix it in with like vanilla ice cream and just eat it like that? Or would that be like eating sandpaper?
Or would you have to brew it first?
So chill it and then like kind of put a little bit in the ice cream and then mix it up. Would that work?
Sure. You could do whatever your little heart desire.
You know what, Rock? You are dead on to something here. So now we have Truecalf ice cream coffee topping, because think about it. What's more than Truecalf coffee over ice cream? Because aren't most of those black metal photos taken in the snowy woods?
Yes.
You know,
So
Truecalf coffee chilled, poured over your vanilla ice cream, and that's Truecalf ice cream. You know,
rock and roll.
It's pretty good. Right. All right. So,
fuck yeah, there's nothing that puts a tent in your shorts more like Truecalf coffee.
There's no way that we can top that.
I got nothing.
If Corinne has a tent in her shorts, like, go, there's nothing you can do that.
How is everyone doing?
I'm doing stellar.
Oh. Phenomenal, as you can tell.
Yeah. I have to admit, I have got one hell of a weekend planned. Not only are we starting it, it's Friday night as we speak. We're doing this. We got a kick-ass creature feature from here. I step out into the wild Canadian wilderness for every year up here. The Ninja Cat production company that I volunteer with, we put on the annual Manitoba Metal Fest. Mm-hmm. In order to get us there, we put on these little fundraiser events where some local bands and all that, they donate their time and talent and put on these shows, you know, and all the proceeds to that go towards putting this event on. Well, that's where I go. As soon as we're done here, I step right out and I'm hitting up the Manitoba Metal Fest fundraiser, featuring Radioactive Metal alumni Flosh Out. Totally stoked for that. Great band, even better people. And I got, I want to say hello. Happy birthday to Mike Menza from Solanum. As we speak, today is his birthday, and it's my buddy Ducky's birthday. Dustin, it's his birthday this weekend.
Aww, happy birthday, Dustin.
So. So we've got all of this tonight. We're going to celebrate his birthday tomorrow, and then rock, it's Royal Rumble on Sunday.
Yes.
Fucking rights, man. I can't wait. I got to get going here.
Snowy, his name's Ducky. You're telling me you're not watching Pretty in Pink this weekend?
Oh, that's his nickname. Our friend Ninja Cat Jessica gave him the nickname Ducky, and I just never questioned it. She's the boss. Like, whatever. Okay.
All right. Like,
I don't argue with Jess. No.
Never argue with a woman.
That's right. It's just not worth it. How are the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse tonight? I'm so stoked that we are all on. There's so much going on in the metal world I want to talk about. And like I said, I got a kick-ass creature feature. I hope everyone's got a metal fix.
Wander the streets living intense metal lives. Find out what we did in The Metal Fix.
Who's got what in where and wants to talk about what they did to who with it?
Well, Corinne hasn't been here in a while. Corinne, how about you go?
Please.
Oh, thank you, Aaron. I'm so glad that you volunteered me for this awesome experience we're about to have. Fuck
yeah. I'm good at volunteering. What can I say?
Let me tell you cool kids what's been going on in the Korean world.
Oh, boy.
So, So, guys, I was more than fucking stoked, okay? I was beyond stoked when I found out that Slayer was going to come rolling through Orlando for their very last tour of the whole entire fucking Slayer lifehood, or whatever you want to call it.
Lifetime.
They're not going to be surviving. They're not going to be surviving in Raining Blood. They're going to be surviving on retirement. So
it's the Raining Retirement.
I was so excited. Fuck yeah. So because of my excitement, I ended up buying my fucking VIP tickets for Slayer in Orlando this come June, because I would never miss a fucking show like this. And I don't care what it costs, because it is fucking Slayer.
Okay, you know what? I was going to save this for a little later, but since you brought it up, okay, all of us, okay, we've done this on the show before. The magic number for these big shows is $100, okay?
I know what you're going to say.
Is this a $100 show?
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Fuck no.
What?
No.
Wait a minute. Oh, wait. Are you talking about with me paying for it?
Yeah. Would you pay $100 for this show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. just in case anyone doesn't know Slayer, okay? The Slayer have announced that this is going to be their last tour. Now, I don't know if they're going to pull a Scorpions and do 5 retirement tours, or if this is just going to be one long one, but they have brought, like, themselves headlining. They've got Anthrax, Lamb of God, Testament, and Behemoth.
Yes. That
is a fucking stacked bill. That is a traveling festival. Oh, my God.
That's what I was just going to say. It's a traveling metal fest. I mean,
absolutely literally.
Amazing.
Slayer and Anthrax, I would be excited about. Slayer, Anthrax, Lamb of God, I would be excited about. But then you add in Testament and Behemoth, like, okay, so this is basically like the Mayhem Festival slimmed down a hair and just going from city to city. Badass, man.
For sure. Now, up here in Winnipeg, okay, and I, our date, okay, up here is in May, okay? And I could not make this up if I wanted to. I would never lie in front of Aaron because he is a good Christian boy. Okay.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
It landed on my birthday, this date. Fucking happy birthday to me. Like, that's
fuck yeah.
That was absolutely amazing. And tickets have gone on sale today, as we speak, and I've already been inundated with a bunch of emails and texts from all my friends. I got my ticket. $93 for a floor seat.
What's up?
It was up here. So, Crean, if you don't mind saying, I don't want to volunteer your personal finances and all that, but if you don't mind, what did you pay for it in your area?
Woo! Well, she's got a VIP, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So I paid a lot.
I don't mind saying it because, you know, free information's on the internet. So what I ended up doing is I had pre-sale. I'm actually part of the Slayer fan club, and I had pre-sale. So they had it. They had two sets. They had a $60 general admission ticket, and then they had $150 early access VIP package. And the reason why I pay so much for the tickets, I bought two of them. Mr. Kareen is very lucky. The reason why I bought two of them was because when I saw Metallica, it was the best experience of my life. And because I took that and I experienced what it was like to be up front centered in a show versus being all the way up in a stadium, you cannot replace those experiences with anything else. Like, there is just no describing it. Being up close is so much different than being all the way up at the top where you could barely see anything. And I see it as I'm paying for the experience. So that's why I didn't have a problem with paying the price I paid for. Now, the only difference between me and the actual VIP is that now I can have upgrades. I had to buy the ticket to get into the VIP status, but then I also have to, if I wanted to, I could upgrade to like meet and greets.
Okay.
But my VIP ticket comes with a ton of stuff. It's not just like, you know, oh, you get early access. No, like you get like a ton of stuff with it.
So I'm confused. So do you actually have a ticket or is this just swag? I'm confused.
Yeah, no, I got a ticket. I got a ticket.
I don't understand, I guess.
Yeah, you get all this, you get all the swag, but then you also get you get a laminate ticket, you get a limited like VIP ticket, and then it comes with the swag part. But then if you wanted to do the meet and greet, I think you have to call for that, or I don't know. I have to look into it, but my ticket says VIP.
Okay.
VIP.
Don't upgrade to the meet and greet just yet. That's all I'm going to say to you right now.
No, I'm not going to, but okay. I have seen Slayer, I think this is my third or fourth time seeing them.
Right on.
This might be my third time, but I love Lamb of God, and because Lamb of God's coming to town, I don't care how much the tickets were going to cost. I was going to be up front and center no matter what it cost me. And I wanted that experience. And it's just the fucking best. Because I saw Lamb of God once at when they were here with Slipknot a couple of years ago.
Oh,
and
wow.
I didn't have that up front and center. I was all the way in the freaking field and it sucked. And it was I couldn't see anything. I was sitting with people that were like, just, you know, just sitting down. I want the experience. And that's what you normally pay for, is the experience. And it is so worth the money. It is so worth it. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot. I'm not kicking myself, but it's a lot. It's a lot of money, but you're paying for the experience. And that's what's important.
Oh yeah. I love your enthusiasm.
Dude.
Yeah.
Oh, like, dude, I've like, oh.
The day they came out
on pre-sale, okay?
So when you bought them, what site did it take you to buy them?
Well, okay, so here's the fun part, guys. So I didn't know they were on pre-sale, okay? So somebody had posted about how they just bought their Slayer tickets the day they came out on pre-sale. And so I go on the Slayer site and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to buy these tickets right now. Blah, 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 blah. Excited.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it told me that I had to be a fan of, the club fan club. And the only way I could become, you have to be a Slayer like club fan. You have to be one of those like people that pay like the membership fee to get in, mm-hmm. to get the early access. So I had to do that. I paid to become a Slayer fan to get this early access code. But I got my pre-sale tickets early because every time they're here in Orlando, they sell out like hotcakes and it's difficult to get them. So anyways, I don't care that I had to pay to be a fan to get the code. I did it because, you know, I really wanted those tickets. And as soon as I found out, I hopped on the opportunity.
I just want to tell all our listeners, if you're looking for tickets, don't go to StubHub and don't go to those Vivid Seats and all that stuff because they charge you a premium.
No, I didn't do that.
I just went to the Slayer site and you click on tickets for the show that you want. And it takes you to AXS Tickets. At least for Orlando. And I'm checking, and the general admission ticket is $60 with all the fees.
See, that's sweet.
With taxes.
I'll do that.
Yeah, everything included, $59.99.
So,
and that's with taxes.
Yeah.
Well, Kareen, I got to ask now, because you're saying that Slayer sells out pretty quick in Orlando and Rock, you know, you too, since you live there. Because as anyone who's listening to this show knows, Slayer's not coming anywhere near me. I'm going to have to drive either 4 hours or 6 hours or 8 hours to go see the show. So I'm thinking if I'm going to drive to see the show, I'd rather come down and see it with you guys. So should I like be trying to get my ticket
Aaron,
soon?
And guess what? It's
like
on really a soon? Friday.
I know. I'm already planning it out.
Oh,
but I figure if I take that Friday off, I can get up early in the morning, drive down before the show, And then, you know, if Rock is willing, I'll crash at his house. You know, sleep on his couch.
You can sleep on the porch.
With the dogs. It'll be May. It'll be plenty warm. I just need a sleep bag. That's no problem. I mean, I've slept in weirder places.
Yeah, dude, we would love to have you down here.
I just thought it'd be cool for us all to go to a show together, you know?
Yeah man. Are you going to do VIP?
No, like a 60 bucks general admission, I'm happy. So here's the deal. Like the first time I saw Slayer was on the Mayhem tour. And that's when I can't remember if I went with Sean or John that year, but we were with Iron City Rocks. And so the first time I ever saw Slayer was in the photo pit.
Oh my God.
I literally just like right up. So I've got these amazing pictures of Kerry King. And I mean, unless I'm doing that again, there's really no way to ever top that, you know? So I'm like, I'm cool wherever I'm at, as long as I'm there to see it and just, you know, so I can legit say like, hey, I saw the final Slayer show, you know?
Wait a minute, Aaron. Hold on. Huh. Wait a minute. You were with Iron City Rocks?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
What?
Wait, hold on. I didn't know this.
Yes, he used to be one of the interviewers for Iron City Rocks.
What?
Yes. How do you think we know him?
That's how we know him.
I don't know. I thought he was a listener.
No. Well, I was a listener before. When John's came and hey, have you ever heard of Radioactive Metal? I'm like, yeah, I just listened to the Kiss episode. Why? You know? Oh yeah, no, I've been a listener for years. Like I've, you know, there are times that I could have quoted everything Snowy said about War on Music when in Winnipeg, 91 Albert Street.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh,
and the
wow.
same thing with Rock. Before Rock came on Green, he was also a listener on the show as well. So,
dude, I had no idea.
So yeah, listen to your podcasts, get involved, and before you know it, like who knows what the future brings? Yeah.
Well, you know, I've been so excited about talking about this Slayer concert that I keep taking up your guys' time, but I wanted to add like just one more thing. I have this week started my own radio show.
Mm-hmm.
You guys can check it out. loudandfierce.airtime.pro, and what it is, it gives you, the listeners, and my co-host a chance to listen to underground metal. The reason why I started this was the same reason why I started the website, was because it is so fucking difficult to find metal music that isn't mixed with trash. And I'm serious. I'm dead fucking serious. And when I mean trash, I mean like, you know, like
shitty
soft
music.
Rock. Like
yeah.
So, you know, it's very, very, very fucking difficult to sit and find a good station that plays it. So right now, my station gives you a full hour commercial free of metal.
Right on.
And I say right now because I haven't been told I couldn't do it otherwise.
It's R&B.
So it,
yeah, R&B. Yeah.
Now, 1 hour now the times are going to be a little goofy depending on where you are in the United States, but I am trying to aim for 10 o'clock Eastern time, between 10 o'clock and 12 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. So for you guys living in Canada, which would be like an hour or two away, you guys should have plenty of time to listen to it before you go to bed. If you're on the other side of the world, which I've had plenty of people chime in. And
we have Eastern time up here.
They have the same time zones as we do.
Yeah. No way. I thought they were Canadian time.
No, Snowy's an hour behind.
Yeah, because he's in the prairies. He's in the middle of the country.
There's still a central time zone in the States.
I know, but you know, like,
you're so pretty.
Behind,
you're
right?
so pretty.
Oh,
yeah.
What the fuck did I say? I said an hour or two behind.
Kareen, I lived in Canada for 29 years, and I was always in the Eastern time zone.
No matter. God damn. Look.
That's okay. You're pretty. You're pretty. Aww. Don't worry.
Yeah, that doesn't get you very far in life, apparently. So anyways, I'm scheduling an hour playlist, and I can do live broadcasting, but I haven't gotten to the point where I got the hang of it yet. So just bear with me. If you guys hear me, just know that I'm working on that. But it is a full hour of nonstop metal.
Awesome.
Right on.
Right. Yeah, yeah. We recommend everybody go check it out. And Radioactive Metal is on Loud and Fierce also.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You can listen to us there, too.
Yes, and I know a lot of you guys, I was one of them. Aaron's another one. You know, you want to listen to a podcast on your way home from work sometimes, and the best time to do it is to put it on around 5 o'clock, and it's all automated, so you don't have to download anything. You just go to the site, click on play, and it automatically plays, but just go to the site around the time it's supposed to be playing, and then it'll play. But like I said, I'm really working out my times. It's crazy. It's getting crazy, but I've been doing okay with it so far.
Right on.
Whew, man, I talk a lot. It's your turn.
That's okay. Well, you know what? This is a talk show. So, hey, you can't go wrong. Aaron, what are you doing in the metal world?
Well, Stoney, I'm so glad you asked. And I had something planned for earlier, but my kids have gone to bed, so we're going to have to listen really closely. Can you hear the Snowy? So, do you know what that is? I'll try it again.
Slower.
Slow. Let's see. Here we go. Rock wants it like doom metal speed. Mm.
Okay, I should be hearing some guitar riffs, but that's the bass, so that's kind of throwing
that's
me.
That's how it starts.
It's just bass on the intro.
For Crash Course in Brain Surgery, Snowy.
Okay. All right.
Because my metal fix involves Metallica.
No shit.
I know, right?
Yeah. What a surprise. Holy shit. There's only a whole metric shit ton of new releases so far this year and all that. Yeah, I know. See, Kareen, this is what I got to put up with like every week.
Dude,
my God! Like,
you know what? If you're gonna ride my balls like this, I'm gonna need to install safety straps and handrails because Metallica is what they've been doing with all their albums so far, like these big reissue kind of things. They're doing a smaller reissue with Garage Days Revisited. We talked about this; probably one of the most influential albums of my youth. I love this album, and Snowy, you're gonna love this. So not only are they going to have like the traditional vinyl and you get a CD, you know what else they're going to reissue with it, Snowy?
What's that?
The long box.
The long box.
The long box.
You know what I'm talking about? The long box.
Binge,
you guys
purge?
Remember?
No.
So do you remember buying CDs in the 80s? Now,
yes. The cardboard box.
You know what I'm talking
box.
About? Yeah, the big long cardboard box that they stuff the CD in.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, well, that didn't last very long.
It was an anti-theft thing.
Yeah. Mm. So you can stuff it in your pants, which I'm going to anyway. Just kidding. Anyway. So that's part of it. And then also check this out. So I found this interesting. And how many of you guys have seen the movie The Princess Bride?
Oh, yeah.
I did, yeah.
All right.
I have.
So if I say inconceivable – and then somebody says, you know, I don't think that word means what you think it means. You'll get where I'm going.
Joke. Okay, yeah.
Okay, so you think of black metal. What do you guys think of? I mean, other than True Cult Coffee right now.
Dude, I love black metal.
I think Venom and Corpse Paint.
Okay, so there we go.
I think one fun. Of the two.
So
I think shitty production, but that's me.
And that's a whole other thing. That's another discussion for another day.
Okay.
So happening as we speak right now, the NAMM show is going on. It started yesterday. It's going through the weekend, Sunday. And the NAMM show, for our listeners, is the National Association of Music Merchants. Happens in Anaheim, California every winter and typically in Nashville in the summer, although the summer shows moved around every now and then. But so the winter NAMM's happening. Lots of announcements are happening. One of those announcements happens to be ESP Guitars has announced their black metal series.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
And I'm looking at them, and basically they're just like black guitars. Like Epiphone did the Goth series a while ago. I'm like, they don't have any black metalers, you know, endorsing them.
It's the color black.
Yeah. They're just black guitars. And they're the pointy. They're different pointy guitars. I think one of them is the Viper. And one of them looks like the Sinister Gates model. Although Sinister Gates is Schecter, isn't he? Yeah, he is.
Idea.
So, but it kind of looks like that. So, yeah. But so ESP has the black metal series. Since Metallica plays ESP guitars, I thought it was appropriate.
Dude, can I just like interject a comment because you said Sinister Gates?
Yes.
Okay, so I have to give them major fucking credit. I don't know if you guys know who Sinister Gates is besides Aaron and I.
Yeah, I know who that is.
Yeah. Pearly Gates' son.
So,
Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh. Sinister Gates is the guitarist for Avenged Sevenfold.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that too. Yeah.
And I have to give those guys major props because they are going to be protesting the Grammys.
Really?
Because,
why?
Yes, because from what it looks like, Metal Injection, if I can source that correctly, it's because the Grammys do not give enough recognition to rock and metal artists. And I am so happy to finally see a metal band as big as Avenged Sevenfold protesting it because I think they were supposed to play at the Grammys and they're not going to because of this.
Well, it's in cycles, you know. Right now, it's like rock and metal is not in favor, but there was a time where it was. So
right, but the thing is, like you, there are several Grammy winners for rock and metal. I had no idea that even received an award because they don't show them.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not necessarily cycles. It's like they have the category. They're just not going to show them on TV. And it's like, what the fuck is the point if you have all these other artists and you exclude rock and metal alone? But everybody else, even freaking, I don't know, every other genre gets recognized except rock and metal. And that's really something that they've portrayed, that, you know, that's not fair to those who, you know, are paying out of pocket for albums and music and the shows, and they can't even get recognized properly. You know, the fans can't even see that their favorite band is up for a nomination.
So
like, don't get me wrong. Metallica has won several Grammys and blah, blah, blah. And that's because they have earned it. They do play well. I'm not knocking Metallica, but I'm just saying, like, other underdogs, like, I'll give you a great example, Hailstorm. Hailstorm's a Grammy winner. I didn't even fucking know that.
Oh, they should absolutely be on TV, too, because they're killer.
Mm-hmm.
Lizzie Hale.
Yeah.
All of this is just the main reason why I gave up on award shows a long time ago.
Not only music,
but movie as well. You know,
I've been protesting the Grammys for years. Like, I can't remember what year I watched where I was just like, this is it. I'm like, and what bothers me about it is the Grammys are voted on by the people in the record industry. So it's basically like a jury of your peers. You know what I mean? And I mean, let's face it. I know that a ton of people go into making a Lady Gaga album, and nothing against Lady Gaga, because I actually do, you know, enjoy her albums. But it takes a ton of people to make a Lady Gaga album. But there are more metal records, I feel, being put out, you know? So I feel like there should be, just by sheer number, there should be more of us doing a lot of the voting. Because, I mean, there's you know, and there's good metal records being put out.
Oh, of course.
There are.
You know, all the time. Like, really, really good stuff.
Every week, kick-ass stuff comes across my desk. But, you know, it's not going to get acknowledged.
No, because it's mostly underground what we get.
Yeah. So it's like, stick to the golden gods and shit like that. That's what gets my attention. As a matter of fact, I remember, when I was a teenager, the big year-end awards that got my attention the most was just Metal Forces magazine's fan voting and all that. Like, that was the fucking Grammys to me. And it was just the readers of Metal Forces, but that's what was most important to me. You know, it still kind of is, like with Revolver and Disciple and all that. Like, those are the awards that mean the most to me still.
I'm totally with you. Totally with you on that one.
Yeah. For sure. Who else has got something they want to talk about with their metal fix?
Let's bring this train back on the tracks. Ooh, that was runaway there for a while.
Sorry.
just had so much work this week. Just the only thing that pops into my head right now is I'm still catching up with Three Sides of the Coin, and episode was with Eric Singer. They had actually had a member of Kiss on their podcast, you know, and they talked a lot about drums and stuff like that. That's the only reason why he did it, because, you know, he hates talking about himself, but once he just wanted to talk about drums and stuff like that. So listen to that one. Then there was another episode with Derek St. Holmes. He is the vocalist for Ted Nugent for many years. A lot of people think that Ted Nugent sang all the songs. That is not true. Most of them were sang by Derek St. Holmes. So that was really interesting, because he's toured with Kiss, you know, opening with Ted Nugent, opening for Kiss. So he had a lot of cool stories. So that was a fun listen. So, but, you know, we've just been talking about Slayer and stuff like that. I pulled up my setlist.fm page while you guys were talking. Yes, because Aaron, you were talking about how the first time you saw Slayer was at the Mayhem tour.
Yeah,
that was 2012, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Shit, a little late to the party, eh?
Dude.
So the first time I saw Slayer, I pull it up here, was September 3rd, 1998. At the Verdun Auditorium in Montreal, and the whole set list is there. It was not a great tour. It was the Diabolus in Musica tour.
See, I love that album. Like, I know they get a lot of crap for that album, but I thought that was a great disc.
And opening was Kilgore. I don't know if you remember those guys.
Yeah,
I have their first album, and Fear Factory was also open.
Oh, wow.
And then, and then I saw them on November 10th, 2001 at the Metropolis in Montreal, which it's still around, and it's one of the best places to see a show in Montreal. And let's see. Oh, yeah, there was no opening act now that I remember correctly. Then I saw them on the Mayhem Tour like you did in 2012. And then next two times in 2014 and 16, I saw them at the Hard Rock with Corinne. So
that's right.
So the band,
that was such a great show.
According to setlist.fm, the band that I've seen the most live is Kiss 7 times. Okay, Henry Rollins doing his solo stuff, you know, 6 times, and then Slayer is the band I've seen the most after that.
Nice, man.
Slayer and Black Dahlia Murder 5 times. So, you know, I don't want to toot my own horn, but, you know, I've seen Slayer many times.
Slayer. So I almost saw Slayer back in the early 90s, somewhere between 90. Well, so yeah. let me tell the story, though. So
yeah, I almost between 91 and 92. Whole wacky shit in my lifetime. I almost won $1 million.
Listen, you almost could have been American instead of Canadian, and that would have been way better. But anyway, again, if you're going to ride my nuts like this, I got to put in safety rails, man. Come on. So I almost saw them back in the early 90s. And I can't remember what tour it was on, but it was them. I want to say it was Anthrax and possibly even Megadeth. If you guys remember that tour, I might be making this up.
Was that the one that also had Alice in Chains?
Yes.
The Thrash of the Titans.
That sounds right.
The Thrash of the Titans.
So they're supposed to come to a place like the Beaver Dome. And so we get the tickets. We show up. Show was canceled. Oh. Nobody knew. Like, we're the only ones in the parking lot. We're like, what's going on?
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. And so I almost saw Slayer then. But then it took me until 2012 to actually see them.
Okay, you actually had your ticket in hand. Okay, that does kind of count.
Okay.
That's just going to tell us, we thought about it, but then we didn't go.
No, I had the ticket, paid for it, everything, ready to go. Nobody's there. We're like, what the hell?
One of my really great friends from high school, he saw them the first time on the Hell Awaits tour. In Montreal, at the Palladium in Montreal. And Snowy, you'll remember Carlo Gazzi, the original bass player for Gorguts. We've had him on the show. He's one of my good friends from high school also. He was also at that show. He went there too.
Nice.
And that show had it was Slayer headlining. You had Exodus, Metal Church, Agent Steel, and Hallows Eve.
Wow. That's I will take that over this tour.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Fantastic.
Wow.
So anyway.
Yeah. Wow.
I took us off the rails again. Your turn, Snowy.
That's okay. Like this is like this tour, if this is indeed Slayer's like last tour, like this is huge, and this is definitely something that we should definitely be talking about, because I know myself, like every time like Slayer has come through my neck of the woods, and like I was old enough to go, the very first time they ever came through Winnipeg was right after Show No Mercy was released. Mm-hmm. And they played here, and then about a month later or so, so I guess it was a couple of years after that. It might have even been Hell Awaits. I don't know. But they played here, and then a couple months later, I moved here, but I wouldn't have been able to get in because I was under 18.
Yeah.
There's no way I would have snuck in, been able to sneak in. But every time after that, the Slayer has come through town, and they've been here about four or five times now, I've gone. There's no way that I cannot go. Like, just...
Yeah.
I like, if Slayer was in town and I wasn't there, I would be like, I'd be twitching and crawling the walls, and the wife would be like, oh my God, like, what's going on here? Like, I'd be frothing at the mouth, and, you know, like, I just, oh no, especially this bill. But the bummer thing about this is we're not getting Anthrax on this tour.
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
Up here. Yeah, there's a couple Canadian dates that it's just they're not on, because I think they're going to be here in February with Killswitch Engage, which Ninja Cat is putting on up here. So I'm thinking that might have something to do with it.
But, you know, February to May, that's a lot of months. I mean, that really shouldn't matter.
It shouldn't, but I don't know what the thinking is. I don't know why Anthrax wouldn't be on this tour, but still, we're getting them, you know. So yeah. Hey, I'm definitely not complaining about that. So, and yeah, I'm fully prepared. I'm fully prepared to pay the $100 for this. Like, I don't know, by the time I get to it, floor will be sold out and all that, so I won't have to. But still, yeah, this is far and away a $100 show for me. For my Metal Fix here, I got a couple of really cool records come across my desk. The new Voidhanger record will be available March 2nd via Agoria Records. Dark Days of the Soul. I was digging that. Some really cool death thrash there. And as well, right now, released today as we speak, that awesome Mammoth Grinder Records from Relapse is available now. Cosmic Crypt, I was cranking that this morning as well. Jesus Christ, there's a whole metric shit ton. Really stoked for the new Destroyer 666 record, which will be available, coming up soon in February from Seasons of Mist. The first single, Call of the Wild, has been making the rounds on the interwebs. Been really digging that. Cranking the latest split with General Surgery Rock. I know you're digging them. Last year, they did a split with the band Body Bag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really good stuff.
I didn't hear about
that. Cranking that. Yeah, you should check it out. I think it wasn't available on Relapse or anything like that. It was just one of the smaller labels.
Yeah.
Do a little digging, though. It was split with Body Bag. Really cool stuff. And Aaron, I was cranking the Prophets of Rage as well. Did we lose him?
He went to pee.
Oh.
Damn, you pulled the curtain back.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Keep going.
All right. Well, that's just it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go and replenish my Lemmy here, and we're going to get into a tune, that new Voidhanger record from the Dark Days of the Soul record. This is Death Wish. Joy! Stranger to this show is the Hell's Headbangers record label. Now, with this goes back, Rock, you'll recall, back to my days at the Warren Music Record Shop when we would order in their albums and I would crank them at work and they would pop up in my Metal Fix and we would have some of their artists like Inquisition on when they came through town. They were involved with the record label. And just every time I came in contact with Hell's Headbangers, I always made sure it popped up on the show. More and more, the last year or so, I would say, we really, really began to focus on this absolutely amazing DIY label. We've had some of their artists on Crucified Mortals. We've had The Mighty Midnight. We've had Nunslaughter on. Oh, Jesus, that's just off the top of my head. I'm sure there has been some more, and there will continue to be. The most interesting thing about Hell's Headbangers that I think, though, is the fact that it's kind of a family business run, you know, owned, operated, and run by three brothers, the Horville brothers, Eric, Chase, and tonight's creature feature, Justin Horville. And there is a fourth who goes by the name, and he's not going to mind me sort of outing him here because he's done it so often himself. He goes by the name Reaper from the band Crucified Mortals. And we've put his video show, Heavy Metal Relics, over on the show over and over and over. So Hell's Headbangers is pretty much family here within, you know, the radioactive metal world. And to have one of the Horval brothers on, you know, that was kind of working behind the scenes, is definitely a long time running or a long time coming now. And if anyone that's kind of been following my metal fixes, I've been pushing another podcast called The Hellcast, which is kind of represents the Hell's Headbangers, the whole label. It's kind of their podcast. And tonight's creature feature, Justin Horval, is one of the voices behind that as well. So chances are, yeah, hopefully, you know, you ventured out, you went to hellcast.net, and you've already heard Justin tonight. So like I said, it's a long time coming. I'm really super stoked to have one of the brothers on. To get us there, though, a really cool release from the Hell's Headbangers record label is the latest Skelethal record, Of the Depths. This is the first single, Chaotic Deviance.
Chaotic Deviance. first and foremost, let's kind of maybe start kind of giving in your words what Hell's Headbangers is and some of its origins and this whatever information, you know, you think our listeners might want in order to kind of get where you guys are coming from.
Okay. Yeah, well, first and foremost, based on anything I say about the company, I just want to always put it out there in case you get other opinions. There's actually three owners. It's me and my two brothers, Chase and Eric. So the three of us started the company when I was, I'm the youngest out of the three of us, and I think I was 15 or 16. I'm pretty sure 16. So with that being said is, you know, opinions about, like, what we like for the company or how we would define it may differ. You know, based on what we each had in mind, which is that's kind of actually one of our strengths, is because there is three things brought to the table, three different minds working. So that's that. So having said that, that goes for everything that I asked, is that, you know, you may get a different answer from Chase and Eric, and that's fine. But yeah, what I've always said about Hell's Headbangers, as far as how I would describe it, is it's a record label basically putting out metal music, Hell's Headbangers, like as in the title, as in just Hell's Metal, meaning. It's not just black metal, it's not just thrash, not just death metal. It's across the board, you know, underground to extreme metal. So, you know, we just kind of do what we like, or at least one of the three of us likes, and that's pretty much it. I mean, that's how we do it. I mean, as long as it's kind of, you know, one of us likes it, and we bring it to the table, and we have time to do it, and there's, you know, merit to doing it, then that's basically what we release and how we do it. We don't just randomly grab anything, you know.
Right.
So...
is this so it's more it's first and foremost, like you said, you have to like what you're doing. So, like, is this a passion project that you're also getting paid for? Like, are you making a living off of Hell's Headbangers?
Yeah, I do make a living off it now. It wasn't always. It just started off as a passion, as a hobby. Like I said, started when I was 16. I didn't see a single cent from this company until, I mean, I didn't see any money from it whatsoever until about 5 years. So it was 5 years of just me, Eric, and Chase actually putting money into it out of passion. You know, none of us went to business school or anything like that. We're just doing what we liked, and we all worked day jobs. And so that's kind of how it grew in the time that it did to the size that it did, because there was three people pumping in money. So, you know, you can imagine that if you have you know, three full-time jobs taking basically whatever extra money they have and all pumping into it over a five-year span, you know, you're going to have a pretty decent, you know, catalog of releases and the distro, which is where we primarily make our money, is through the online sales distribution throughout the world. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, currently, no, I do make a living off it, and so do my two brothers, and I have been for some time now, you know.
That's fantastic. That's awesome. And this is 100% DIY, like... Sony's not distributing nothing or anything like that. This is, you guys are legit. You're the goods.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it is 100% DIY. My plan, as far as this Sony distributing anything. I mean, we send to like, for store sales to Red Distribution and a Plastic Head. So we'll send our copies to them, and then they outsource it to stores that probably don't even know who the hell we are. You know, and they just go by the catalog of stuff, like they see what their customers may want. Like they see, okay, they shop by Central Media, they shop by Relapse Records, and then we have our own catalog page as well. And, you know, they just see, okay, Hell's Headbangers, whatever they put out, we'll stock. Because that's, you know, people that come to our store like these guys. But the owners themselves, I've talked to a couple through email, you know, ringing up wholesale, because they've eventually found out about us through whatever means. And, you could just tell they didn't even know what the hell we're doing, like putting it out. Like who knows what they listening to? They may just be listening, you know, like Led Zeppelin and ZZ Top, you know. So this extreme metal shit, they're probably like, I don't even know what this crap is, but people come into our store and they buy it. So there is some of that going on, but 90% of our revenue drawn is people coming to our actual website and buying it and us shipping it out of our warehouse.
Right on. Like I absolutely think that your backstory, like with the three brothers and all that, just that's absolutely amazing, man. Like total horns to you. Like it makes me think, is there a documentary in this about what you guys did? Like I think this is something that, you know, not that in I'm that not type that I'm aware of format.
Yeah, not that I'm aware of. I mean, I've done a couple interviews in the past through magazines and shit. I mean, it's been a long time. I don't remember who. I think Chase has done one or two interviews. I don't know if Eric's done any. So not that I'm aware of, but I can't say that, you know, Chase didn't type something up for somebody if they asked. I remember it was years ago. This might have even been before I was doing it full time, business, and or right around that time, is the three of us took a picture for a magazine, and there was some interview. I think I'm pretty sure Chase did it. I don't remember what was asked or what he typed up, so I don't think there's a documentary of any type out there. Not that I've ever seen.
Okay, well, I can definitely. I honestly think there should be one. I think there's a really cool, or even one step let's take this one step further. And I know this isn't something that you would go to, because I'm kind of learning your personality through listening to your Hellcast podcast. But there's almost a reality type show, probably. I'm thinking just the day to day of the family business and all that. It's like, I don't know, it's maybe a YouTube thing. This is just something that's kind of bouncing around in my head.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's interesting to people or not. You know, it's kind of funny because, like, even just as you know, Craig started the Hellcast. He's our younger brother. He was the first employee we hired on.
Right.
There was the three of us that started it, and then we needed, you know, help, and so we hired him, and he quit his job, and he's been an employee for 8-9 years, something like that, somewhere around that. No, he's probably better, but something around that. But he's the one. He had the idea for the Hellcast, and he kind of was his, you know, project, and you know, just a passion again. You know, just doing it, and he was doing it with Eddie, and you know, things just whatever didn't work out or whatever, and he asked me to come on, and I kind of find it surprising that anybody cares what myself or Craig even have to say. You know, I'm not saying that there's a ton of people that do, but it's kind of strange in a good way that anyone even gives a shit. So, you know, maybe they would as far as a YouTube thing. I mean, we technically do have a YouTube channel, but haven't done much with it. I think we're kind of a little bit not up with the times, which was something we have talked about recently that we need to, as far as social media, YouTube, all that we need to get with, because we're kind of, YouTube didn't even exist when we started this business, you know, and so it's not something we know a lot about. I mean, I know what it is, obviously, and I listen to it and watch, you know, personal stuff on there. But yeah, as far as our channel, Craig has more of a grasp on it now than anybody. Obviously, you know, him doing the heavy metal relics and all that. So that's just out of personal, what he just wants to do it, you know. And I'd be up for it. I'd be totally into it. I wouldn't mind being in videos and shit. Well, obviously, doing the Hellcast, it's just the means of doing it as far as on a business relationship. I don't know what we talk about. I guess we need ideas, like what people would want to see or, you know, here. I'd totally be into it, but I wouldn't quite know, yeah, what people would be interested in.
Well, that would be up to the writers, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. When you, and you kind of touched on this, but like, it's basically, you were saying that it's whatever you guys like and what you would want to put out. Like, who's the A&R guy? Who's like, is it all three of you? Are you looking for input from other people? Like, well, how is that final decision made that, okay, we're going to put this record out with this band?
Yeah. In the very beginning, it was definitely all three. Like, nothing went anywhere until all three of us listened to it. Now it seems like it's mostly Chase. Simply because he handles the behind the scenes emails for the, you know, the bands and the other distributors and stuff. Actually, I do the emails from like server, like the customers. So he gets that side. So that's mainly why. But if you look at our catalog releases, it's actually different stuff. It's like, you know, modern bands, you know, newer bands or bands that have been around a while and they got their new album, like, you know, like Midnight, for example. And, you know, they come to us or bet on the label and they're going to do a new album. That stuff, a lot of those is they've already been on a label, and unless they took like a total 180 on their style and completely changed, and we're just like, what the hell is this? If they've already been on the label, chances are we'll do their next record if they chose to stay with us, if they want to, you know, then we'll do it. So that's how those come about, like the Midnight, the Acid Witches, and, you know, Nun Slaughter, because, you know, being on the label already. So that's how those, as far as new bands, you know, new album, we never dealt with them before. Seems like where it's mostly Chase. If he thinks it's If he thinks that me or Eric can be like, oh, what the hell is this? He'll definitely shoot it to us. Hey, what do you guys think of this? But if it's something where he kind of like, ah, it's just, you know, yeah, these guys are going to be totally cool with it. They're going to dig it too. Then he'll kind of just run with it if he thinks that has potential. And then the third category of releases is a lot of, I don't like to call it reissues, but at the same time, I guess it kind of qualifies as reissues, is older stuff that's never been put out on vinyl. Like take like the Deceased LPs we did, the Mortician LPs we did. There's that band Centurion, who I've always been a huge fan of. Those originally came out on CD, but we reissued on CD and done the vinyls for them, which they've never been on vinyl. Exhumed Slaughter Cult we did last year. So Exhumed Slaughter Cult, that's Exhumed's second album. They did that in 2001, I believe, and on Relapse Records, but it was only on CD, and there was a picture disc as well, but it's never been done on LP. So we put that on an LP just last year, and those sold out in like a month. Those, believe it or not, those are actually my favorite releases, is that kind of stuff, because the reason we do those is because those are the releases we grew up on as kids. Like, that's what I picked up and loved, you know, and I always just wanted on LP for myself. So those ones are a little harder to do, though, because they were already on a previous label, and just getting them to basically license it out, and then from there on out, if they agree, do they have the materials still, you know, like the files to be able to put it out? So those seem to be the most troublesome, but those, in my opinion, are my favorites. Because, again, like it's like I said, it's the stuff that I grew up on and that I'm, you know, most into, you know.
Right on. Just if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I just turned 33.
Oh, okay. So you're still young.
Yeah, I guess you consider that young.
And that means Reaper is even younger than you then, if he's the youngest.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. Our listeners would most be familiar with Reaper because we had him on for Crucified Mortals.
Yeah, he's 31.
Hey, he's just a pup. Holy moly.
Yeah, he's 31, I'm 33. Well, how old are you?
46.
Okay. Most of the people I always associated with at shows and stuff, I was always used to being the youngest. You know, everybody I was always friends with and stuff were always right around your age, like Dawn of the Dead, you know, Jim Kanya, and a bunch of other people in the local scene. And then meeting guys like guys from Exhumed, Matt Harder from Exhumed, really, really cool guy. I believe he's exactly 10 years older than me, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's what he told me when I saw him last. But I was always talking to guys that are considerably older. So when I meet people younger than I do, which, as you can imagine, I kind of do now, especially at shows and customers, I find it kind of weird because I'm still in a mindset that I'm always used to being the youngest of the crowd. Like, you know, my very first metal show that I went to, I was 13 years old, and I've been going to metal shows since then. So I was always the youngest there.
Yeah, I'm actually used to being the oldest one. It's like, oh my God, I could have fathered half of these people at these shows. Yeah, no. But I think that's cool. Like, okay. So I imagine Midnight right now is probably your biggest selling artist on the roster. Who are some of them? They're well familiar with Midnight on the show. We've had Athanar on and all that, and really, really push the stuff. We try to push as much Hell's Headbangers as possible. Who are some of the other artists on the label that you think our listeners should know about?
Oh, well, you are definitely right. Midnight is the top mover on the label. And, Athanar is one of the coolest guys you'll ever meet, too. I don't know if you've officially met him, but he's around your age. I think he's slightly younger than you, maybe a couple of years. But one of the coolest human beings I've ever met in my entire life. I'll go on record saying that.
He is.
But as far as other bands, is the question, I guess it seemed like it's kind of a two-way question. Maybe it was just one. Are you asking, like, who are some of the larger bands on the label, or who are some other bands that I just recommend?
Just who would you recommend? Let's just throw some names out there that people should know.
I think Abysmal Lord is really good. It's a steady mover for us, but it's by no means anywhere near Midnight status. But I thought they were fucking great. We did their full length album. It's been two time flies with this shit, man. It seems like we just put it out, but I think it's been 2 years now already on that one. I like the Abysmal Lord a lot. Destructor from not the Cleveland Destructor, although they're good too, but a Destructor from Australia. That was one of the
Destructor with a K.
Yeah. Yeah, their last album we did a few years ago now. Yeah, that has been, I think, 3 years for sure right now. But they've been on our label since 2003, I want to say, with their Nuclear right. Storm disc. So they've been faithful ever since. You know, when they signed with us, they've been, yeah, since, like I said, I believe it's 2003, so 15 years now. I think they're a really good band. I thought their last album was really good. They're not officially, like, on our... Well, they are on our... We just haven't done an album yet, the new album, but we've done all of the LPs is Deceased. I've always been a huge Deceased fan. We've done pretty much all the albums on vinyl now. I think I'm... I might be missing something off the top of my head, but yeah, pretty much done all the albums on vinyl, and the next two albums we are scheduled to release, you know, CD, LP, but they're not even written yet. It's been... But we had them written on contract for... It's been about 5 years now. So, yeah, there, I mean, there's a lot of bands, the Lurking Corpses. I'm sure you all hear they get brought up on, Hellcast. Eddie loved that band, on our label. I think they're very, very good. Cyanide, you know, Cemetery Lust, Necrofilth, obviously Nunslaughter.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, a lot of bands.
Right on. Yeah. Like I said, we've had Nunslaughter on in the past. We've had Crucified Mortals. We've had Athnar from Midnight on and all that. So we're really stoked to have you on today, kind of giving us a different perspective from the whole Headbangers thing. But I want to talk maybe a little bit kind of just about Justin, the person here, to kind of wrap this up with. You mentioned you were 13 when you first discovered metal and all that. What was your very first metal show?
I wasn't 13 when I first discovered metal. That's just when I first been to a show. I was probably like the very first metal band I heard, which most people don't, you know, ever believe this or find that very, very strange, with the exception of like Black Sabbath and shit. Like our dad would listen to like Black Sabbath and early Ozzy and, you know, Priest. So with the exception of that, and you know, I mean, I was like 8 years old hearing that stuff. And I remember especially Sabbath and Ozzy. I liked always at that very, very young age, because I always liked Ozzy's voice. You know, when my dad, we planned that, you know, like Master Reality and shit.
Right.
So with the actual first band that me and my brothers heard together was actually Sacred Reich. The,
nice.
Yeah, most people think it's, you know, Metallica or Slayer. No, it's actually that. So, yeah, I was probably, at that age, I was probably 10 or 11, something around there. So that's kind of where, you know, metal music was really introduced in my life. And then the first show I've been to, like I said, I was 13, and that was the band Death.
Ah.
Yeah. Cool. So.
Right on.
And you know what? It's funny is, and I've been going to shows ever since 13, and if you were to ask me the second show I've ever been to, if someone held a gun to my head and I had to give them a correct answer, I couldn't answer that. I don't even know what the hell it was. I remember shows around that time that I've gone, like Morbid Angel, and a bunch of others, like some local shows, local metal shows. I remember seeing Nunslaughter very early on, 99, 2000. But, yeah, my actual second metal show, other than metal show, I don't think I've ever been to any other fucking shows. Not that I can recall. There might be some of my adult years that I've gone to with the family thing, but, yeah, I don't think so. I don't think I've ever been to anything other than metal shows. So, yeah, I don't remember what my actual second show was. So
okay, well, hey, it's the first one that counts in for a lot of things, I guess. Who do you like out there when you're at work doing your Hell's Headbanger stuff, or when you're on your own time and all that? What tunes are you jamming?
Well, if I'm not checking something new out that came through the shop, like the distro, you know, I'm usually just listening, because, I mean, I actually, because I still collect this stuff, you know, I collect the, you know, the vinyls and the CDs. I mean, I have a, you know, relatively large collection, not big compared to, you know, some guys, but, you know, a few thousand pieces of each. So, I mean, you know, just what stuff that I grew up on, or, you know, just catch on my collection. Like, oh, I haven't listened to this in a while, but I mean, you know, I could be anything from, you know, if I'm listening to death metal stuff, it can be anything, you know, Cannibal Corpse, Grave, Dismember, Mortician, like I said, Exhumed, Incantation, Agoraphobia, Sinister, or, you know, it'd be black metal stuff like Marduk, Dark Funeral, Enthroned. I always liked that band. They did one album called Black Dawn, Blood for Satan. That's a great album. Dark Moon was a great, really underground band. It's a band I actually loved. Like I was talking about those reissues, the LPs. That's something I brought to Chase recently. We're about to do is Dark Moon, Seeds of Unrest. If people listening have never heard of that. That came out on CD 15, 16 years ago. I always thought that was a thrash metal album. So that or thrash metal, you know, from, you know, like, you know, early thrash, you know, Blood Feast, Sacrifice, Overkill, you know, early Slayer, you know, early Metallica. I like Incubus, Serpentation, you know, a lot of stuff, you know. So it's could be any of that, or it could be just, you know, newer stuff that came out as like, you know, mid-tier stuff. You know, that's, I like Toxic Holocaust a lot. I think every album by that band's good. Or it could be, you know, stuff that are on a label. I mean, just like the other day, I listened to the that band Hammer that we put out.
Okay.
You know, stuff like that. So it just depends. I mean, it's all over because I try to, like I said, anytime I'm flipping through my records, CDs or whatever, there's always something I'm like, I haven't listened to this in years. you know, and I'll just, you know, let me put this on, you know, it could be like, it could be whatever. It could be a bigger band that I grew up on as a fan, or a band like, I don't remember what this sounds like. It could be from Immolation to fucking, you know, whatever, you know, just a demo or something. You know, especially with 7-inches. If I put through my 7-inch, man, there's all kinds of shit. I'm like, I remember liking this, but I don't remember what it sounds like, you know, because it's been, you know, I think it's kind of the way it goes for a lot of guys. The guys that have really large collections, I think it goes, I think it's the way for most of them. Or am I mistaken? Is that the way it is for you?
It can be. My collection's quite up there by now because I just never got rid of anything over the years, and I'll be flipping through like the secondhand music shops and I'll see a CD and it's like, oh, this is awesome. Oh, wait a minute. I don't know if I have this or not right now off the top of my head and all that. So it's like, I better check because I'm going to go home and
The last few years, there's a lot of that, like, because I see the product come in, and so I'm so used to seeing it around here at the shop that I can mistake that I have it where I never picked it up, or vice versa. Like, I just don't remember. So, yeah, I have to physically go home and look. Luckily for me, that's not too of a tedious process because all my stuff is alphabetized. And some people are like, oh, man, how the hell did you do it? I just always kept up with it. Like, the actual racks that hold my CDs and LPs, I've always left, like, nice big gaps so that way I can kind of just slide them in. I don't have to move everything from A to Z down. And otherwise, yeah, fuck. I wouldn't be able to find shit if it wasn't alphabetized. If it was shuffled in like a deck of cards, I'd be fucking screwed.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah, alphabetization is your friend. For sure. Yeah. Before I let you go, I'm sure you're a busy guy. Maybe let's use this opportunity because I push Hellcast a lot. We have a segment on the show called Our Metal Fix where we talk about what we did that week. And I've pushed Hellcast a lot. As a matter of fact, I remember when I first discovered it, I went back and binge listened to like the whole series, so you know, I've gotten every single one in, and I like to push it on the show. Maybe you can just remind our listeners exactly what it is and how they can tune in and all that good stuff.
I do the podcast now with Reaper. He's the main host guy, and go to the website at hellcast.net. And as far as what it's about, I mean, just talking about metal, really. I mean, actually, Reaper, he thinks of the topics, and he just calls me in when he's ready to record. That way, it's all 100% just, you know, authentic. Like, there's nothing premeditated, nothing. So whatever the hell is say, or that's why if I'm like, I forget, or I can't think of this, or it's because it's literally right on the spot. I even told him, I was like, yeah, if I'm going to do this, because I've only been doing it for, I don't know, maybe you know the last few episodes of ours, because remember, Eddie was doing it. I've only been on so many, whatever they have, many episodes. I don't even know now. Maybe half a dozen, something like that. He just calls me in the room and just, I was like, yeah, just throw the topics on. Because that's just how, like, you know, I just think it's more real like that, you know. So nothing's pressing. We just talk about whatever. Just anything metal related, whether it's just, you know, bands, talking about bands or plugging bands or just what we... you know, how would you explain it? Let's put it that way. Just talking, I don't know, I'm going to say talking shit, but maybe talking shit.
It's you two just sitting down and talking about metal off the cuff, and like I look forward to it every episode.
Yeah, that's pretty much the word it is. So if that sounds interesting to any of you people, yeah, check it out.
For sure. And finally, a website for Hell's Headbangers. Let's maybe
talk about Hell's Headbangers. For Hell's Headbangers, it's hellsheadbangers.com. And then for Hellcast, which there is a link for Hellcast on Hell's Headbangers site as well. But if you want to just go directly, just hellcast.net. Or if you're to Google either, if for whatever reason you think you're going to misspell something or whatever, you Google either, they'll come right up.
If you're not tuned in to The Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
You guys suck. You guys suck.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantvmradio.com. It's The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
It was a long time coming, but it was definitely worth it. Hellsheadbangers.com, check them out. Hellcast.com, check out Justin's Wicked TV show. Wicked podcast. You know, it's fantastic. It's great stuff. And like I said, it's a long time coming, and good friends, even better people for sure. Oh, where are we at? It's just about that time.
Oh, we got to go. We try to keep these at an hour, and we've been failing miserably.
Well, you know what? Like I said, there's a lot going on, and we got a lot of these cool people that want to talk to us, so we got to accommodate them. No one minds. I'm going to go out on some more classic Hell's Headbangers with the mighty Impiety from their Impious Crusade record. Let's go with Commanding Death and Destroy. That's a cool track. In the meantime, and in between time, that's
Seek
it.
Seek and Destroy.
That's
more Metallica.
Okay. Yeah. We're all going to hell episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Soy White.
This is Rock.
I'm Kareen.
And this is Aaron. And dear listeners, don't forget to buy some
True Coffee
at trvekvltcoffee.com. RadMetal666 is your code, and you'll save 6.66%.
We're out.
Signing off.
Steel, descending tyrants, I will to flagellate.
Visit us at radioactivemetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on purerockradio.net. You can also listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to radioactivemetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We may even play it on the show. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and instagram.com/radioactivemetal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.